Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church this morning. Glad to have everybody here today. Would someone pass out the attendance register if they haven't been? Charles got mine. Please sign in and put in if you were in the second service. Announcements this morning in the bulletin. Some of them that have been brought to my attention are that there is not a technology meeting today. It says there is, but there isn't. Men's breakfast will be next Saturday. Anyone who has an opinion, good breakfast, good fellowship. Retirees luncheon this week. And Vacation Bible School starts also. Back. Glad to have you. I'm sorry, since I passed over, are there any other guests this morning?
I apologize for that.
Prayer, praise request? Yes. call to worship this morning is in your bulletin. Go on with me, please. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord. Praise His name. Proclaim His salvation day after day.
Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples.
For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods.
If you would please open up your hymn book to number 506.
Now, Father, we come praying like He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing as we express our faith through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Our prayer of confession today is in unison, is in your bulletin. Almighty God, you poured your Spirit upon gathered disciples, creating bold tongues, open ears, and a new community of faith. We confess that we hold back the force of your Spirit among us. We do not listen for your work of grace, speak the good news of your love, or live as a people made one in Christ. Have mercy on us, O God. Transform our timid lives by the power of the Spirit, and fill us with a flaming desire to be your faithful people, doing your will for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Assurance of forgiveness today is from 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Number 186, please. Verse 1 and 3. children would come forward. It's time for children's church. help thinking about those dogs and cat and that van. Most of us could crowd in like that and get along on a long trip. Our offertory sentence today is from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 and 16. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Would the ushers come forward, please? As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement. Through faith in His blood, He did this to demonstrate His justice. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Forgiveness. You've heard the scripture lesson. Paul. He is speaking to us just like he spoke to those people in Rome, writing to a most sinful people. I wonder if they were any more sinful than our society or our generation. The purpose, or the stated purpose of this sermon, is to call attention to the fact of sin. Because sometimes we get to thinking that we are rather great people. And sometimes when you talk about sin in the church, people will want to think, us? Sinners? I like the bumper sticker that's been around a while. Christians aren't perfect. Just forgive us. Yes, we're all sinners. Paul expresses it rather bluntly, I guess we could say. The fact of sin, the result of sin, does it matter whether we sin or not? Or is there any benefit to not sinning? Is there any problem associated with sin? So I want to call attention to the facts of sin. I want to call attention to the results of sin and point a way out of sin. The church, this church at least, talks about sin quite a bit. We really do. Hopefully we don't get overly involved in just dwelling on our sin. But look at this service that we've been in today. In the Apostles' Creed, we spoke of believing in the forgiveness of sin. So if there is the forgiveness of sin, we are admitting that at least some people, hopefully ourselves, we're confessing that we have sinned, are in need of forgiveness, and believe that Jesus forgives us. In the Lord's Prayer, we talk about sin. Forgive us, and Jesus taught us to pray this prayer, forgive us our debts. Or, if you're looking at the Book of Common Worship, the translated trespasses, I said some people owe debts, others trespass, the ones that usually follow the Book of Common Worship. We follow the Gospel of Matthew, King James Version, at least in that phrase of the Lord's Prayer. And some modern versions have changed the word debt or inserted, translated sin. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So if Jesus teaches us to pray for our forgiveness and talks about we're admitting that we sin if we're asking for forgiveness. And then in our time of confession is a what? Confession of sin. And we usually try to have a passage of Scripture, a scriptural call to confession. And a verse of Scripture that points out that we're sinners. And then we go into the confession of sin. We do that unison, if for those who would choose to go with us and pray along with the prayer. Hopefully you don't just read the prayer of confession. Hopefully we never recite the Lord's Prayer. Let me inject this, that we pray the Lord's Prayer. Hopefully we never just read the prayer of confession, but that we pray it as it applies to us. And then we conclude that with God's Word speaking concerning our forgiveness. A word of assurance, or a word of blessing, or today, if we confess our sin, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness or unholy things. And we have just confessed back in the call to confession, even today. What did that one say? It's pretty strong. If we say that we are not sinners or have not sinned, what are we doing? We're making a liar out of God. And we really don't have the truth in us. On the other hand, is there another hand? Yes, there is. Sadly to say, some churches are avoiding talking about sin. And a few years ago, we had a young man to come and speak, and he pointed out, but not the first time I had heard it, nor the last time, that certain age group of our society, they don't want to hear about sin. I think they're wrong. I think there comes a point in a person's life that they're willing to admit and then confess their sin, because the burden gets so heavy that they cannot stand it. They cannot carry the burden. Or many people, this happens too. But there are even preachers who declare that they will not preach about sin. I'm convinced that these preachers are doing a disservice to their congregation. But we do not say there's something wrong in society, there's something wrong in people's lives, when it's so evident. The Apostle Paul, can we preach a sermon without talking about the Apostle Paul? Kind of difficult. But he said so much about so many things. He preached Jesus and Him crucified. Why was Jesus crucified? Pray for us. Pray for our sins. Paul writes much about sin, about staying out of sin. It's supposed to be out, not or, our. That's a T and not an R, or it's supposed to be. When do you discover your typing mistake? And then he tells us about forgiveness of sin. And maybe those two should be switched. He talks about sin, brings it to the attention of the people that's listening, being either the readers of his letters or a congregation today, talks about the forgiveness of sin, and then he talks about staying out of sin, encourages people to stay out of sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, he tells us how we got into this mess. Adam did it. Men want to say, well, Eve did it. And Eve wants to say, well, the serpent did it. But back early on, didn't take men, people, God's creation, all that He created was good, but it didn't stay good. Give them free will, and how do we always go? Till we get desperate and have to look to God and say, rescue me, God. He says, sin entered the world through one man, as Adam, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all men. And you heard, if you were praying along with Gary, expressing to God that we're dead in sin, and his prayer for the offering, or offertory prayer.
sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. In this way, death came to all men, and change that man, if you will, translate that to people. Men, women, boys, girls, young men, young women. Because all sin. You ever believe, if you ever wondered that you sin, just look to Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 12. Or you can look at 1 John 1, verse 8. Sin. Sin. Let's think of sin not way out there, but let's think of sin concerning me and you. We look at the Romans and Solomon and Jeremiah and Isaiah and John, but let's bring it to ourselves. Paul, the Apostle says, the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, that there is no one righteous. Righteous meaning right with God. No one holy. There is none righteous. And then he says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short, one translation is. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then we look not only to what Paul said a long time before Paul, back with King Solomon. Which king was King Solomon? You're talking about Israel. Now listen. Third, who was the first one? Little Bible lesson here. King Saul. He messed up. He got proud. He kind of still don't understand that, but God had to remove him. Then David. King David. David's son, Solomon. A child of David and Bathsheba, their second child. First one died as an infant. King Solomon. He speaks in Ecclesiastes. He has looked for the meaning of life. And he says, there is not a just man. There is not a just person. Jeremiah. Back up a moment to Solomon. I'm reading Kings and Chronicles. You kind of have to read them together. So Kings will say something about a particular king, and Chronicles will say something about the same king. And one will emphasize one point, but Kings will emphasize one point, and Chronicles will leave it out. Our Chronicles will emphasize one portion of his life, and Kings will leave it out. So I'm reading together, and I'm working on a little project. I've got, of all the kings, I was doing 260 devotionals, and I think I'm to 203. 57 to go. Been working on it over a year. But I've had to read in detail the life of the kings as presented in Kings and Chronicles. Well, before that, Psalm and Samuel. What did it say about the kings? Over and over and over and over, almost every one of them, all but about three, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. These were God's people way back there before our time. They built God's idols to Baal, the false god. They built
made Asherah poles, and I'm not sure it was poles that resembled Asherah, and they worshiped the pole, and they built shrines and up in the high places that they were not supposed to worship. They were supposed to worship in Jerusalem, and they just kept over and over and over doing evil. So and so was so such was we'll say 23 years old when he became king, and he reigned for X number of years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, following after his fathers, and many of them go back to Jeroboam, generations and generations back. Then but Solomon, and it's talked about, there's not a just man. So following him, even with all of his wise teaching, all of his teaching about if God's people who are called by God's name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way and seek God's face, God has promised that he will hear from heaven and will forgive our sin and will heal their land. But those who followed Solomon. Now, every once in a while, and it was every once in a while, there would be a righteous king. And he'd bring about reform and clean up the mess and tear down the shrines to Baal. But immediately following him, his children would come and turn right back to them. So Solomon kind of was saying in the future, as he had observed from the past, or those around him. Jeremiah was there in the with the latter kings, those that came later. And Jeremiah says in 17, Jeremiah 17, that he says that the heart is wicked. The heart is wicked. Isaiah said in Isaiah 64 that even our righteousness is like filthy rags. And then John the Evangelist, 1 John 1:8, it was our call to confession. If we say that we're without sin, we make a liar out of God. Sin is really a part of life. We can't get away from it. Sin is real. Now, what's the result of sin? What's the result? Separation from God. Spiritual death. An eternity away from God. An eternity in hell. We don't like to hear that. It scared it out of me when I was 11 years old. I didn't become perfect, but I sure did start trusting in Jesus. I didn't want to spend an eternity separated from God. Sin is real. How real? Very real. And what are we talking about when we talk about sin? I just picked up a little New Testament. Even while I was up here this morning, after the service started, and you may have seen me doing a little homework, but in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4, there is the urging or the admonition or the teaching, if you will, of what to stay away from. And one of them is anger. If you get angry, or when you get angry, don't let the sun go down on you. But in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, and then you can turn over this flipping through to turn over in Colossians some rules for holy living. But it tells you what to avoid. We'll leave all that for a little homework. Colossians chapter 3. And then if you turn over to Thessalonians, found 1, say, well, I'm not a sinner. I'm not guilty of all of these. Well, at the end of Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 and following, it just kind of has an inclusive phrase, and the lie. And the lie. He's listed a lot of things. And if we slide by all that's listed there in Paul's writings to the people at the church of Galatia, the things that separate us from God and keep us out of the kingdom, there's a little phrase, a little word that says, and the lie. And then, even in Thessalonians, the warning was against idleness or a call to be busy for the kingdom of God. So, that's what we're talking about. What's the result of sin? We said it's spiritual death. Everybody's going to die physically unless Jesus comes first. We may be the one that's still here when Jesus comes and calls us, translates us, and takes us to be with Him forever. But otherwise, we're all going to die. It's part of life. The ending of life here on earth. But then there's a spiritual death, if we're not forgiven. What's the remedy for sin? That's what we want to talk about. That's the good news. Jesus. The Christ. The Savior. He died for us. He gave His life that we might have life. Yes, we're sinners by our very nature. Children of Adam. Descendants of Adam. It was imparted to us. Or handed down to us. But we're also sinners by our action. Our lack of action. You know, there are sins of omission, things that we have failed to do or omitted from our lives. Remedy for sin, Romans 5, 8. Jesus. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. 1 John 1, 9. Our assurance of forgiveness in today's worship order. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And forgiven and cleansed, we can go into the presence of God boldly to the throne of grace. And feel welcome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for reminding us of that which is wrong in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for providing a way to be freed of this wrongness, be forgiven. Thank you for Jesus. Lord, we just trust Him. We bring our sin. To bear them for us. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for calling us and reminding us and urging us to cast our burdens on Jesus. Thank you again, Jesus, for taking us and bearing us. Thank you for paying for us. Thank you, Lord, that death did not hold you, but that you rose to new life, and we died to self, Lord, owing your forgiveness through Jesus, that we too are raised to new life. Help us to live lives that glorify you. In Jesus' name. The song is Just As I Am. That's how we're called. He don't leave us just as we are, but He invites us to come just as we are. Let's stand together and sing. It's 342.
I ask that we sing verse 1 and 5. And maybe your response to God's love through Jesus Christ this morning is a public response. If that be the case, please make your way here to the front of this church and we'll meet together and we will share your response and we will commit your life unto the Lord. But if you don't feel that it's public, you may just want to make your commitment where you're seated. But then you do need to tell somebody about your faith in Jesus.
Your people in the world. Amen.